Mike!
It's me!
Yeah, you're supposed to say something.
Oh, that's because I'm ready to say something. I got some big news, Matt.
God damn it.
The return we have all been waiting for is finally here. One of the sport's most notorious icons is stepping in the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters. That's five hockey players and a goalie. Stay under the salary cap and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes.
Plus, don't forget about football, Mike. Playoffs. That's what we're talking, playoffs. For DraftKings, there's even more money up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Now, everybody, what we need you to do. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Alrighty, folks. Thanks for holding on. Obviously, if we're talking in the Detroit area, it'll be January 22nd that you can do your draft relationship for the sports book. We all know that's getting going. So we're going to have a ton of options, but we're hoping you're going to pick DraftKings and use promo code THPN. When it gets started this Friday. So good on the state of Michigan. Mike, today we're going to be talking Bobby Ryan, the greatest Red Wing of all time. We're going to be talking some 500 hockey, and we're going to be getting everybody going, for the Blackhawks series coming up this weekend, including, Mike, Game of the Week on NBC with, of course, who could think of any other two better teams to hold Game of the Week than the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. But before we get into that, Mike, we have a quick ad. Let's highlight Bar Down Breakdown, the 100th episode coming up. So everybody take a quick sneak peek right here. Thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, Bar Down Breakdown coming up. You'll see all the deets in just a sec.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode it's going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Whoever didn't have the joy of watching Mike interact with the overlay, please go over to our YouTube channel. You can watch that. You know what, Mike? That's what we need to do going forward. I was kind of half hoping that you were going to, like, grab the side of it and pull yourself over.
I thought about it. We'll get him next time.
Yeah. All right, Mike. This is the greatest Red Wings team we've seen in the last 2 years. It's, I mean, we did have a pretty hot start last season, too. But There's something about Mike going down and losing your leads, and instead of continuing to fall down on the scoreboard, crawl back slash take the lead back, whatever you want to call it. But Mike, we're having some fun, aren't we?
Matt, this is a weird experience for me. I'm not used to seeing competitive hockey.
Yeah,
I'm not used to seeing competitive hockey in Detroit. It's been a long time. These games. You know, we've heard it in the post-game interviews where, you know, they might go down a goal or they might have an early lead and then they give up, give up a goal and then it's a tie game. We saw that so much last year where we almost should have had a name change. We should have been the Detroit Avalanche because we'd score one goal and then give up 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row. And it was just like, my God, what happened? But this year really feels like guys are, hunkering down. They're, chapping at the bit there to get back out on the ice after, a tough play, after a tough goal, and to keep fighting. So, it's a discipline and a composure that I don't think we've seen in a couple seasons. So it's very refreshing to see. And like you alluded to, we might have to hang up number 54 in the rafters because Bobby Ryan has been a revelation. My God. I can't believe he was placed on waivers last season. My God, this guy is incredible.
I had a hashtag #retire54 has started, so whoever wants to jump on that bandwagon.
We also have a retire Franz Nielsen, but for a different reason.
I was a little worried that people were going to misinterpret it, like retire already. No, I mean the retire 91. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Everybody got it. Never mind. So I talked with Grant, and I hope everybody sticks around to hear this conversation with the Hungry for Hawks talk podcast. I did it again. I said, actually, when I interviewed him, I called it Hungry for Hawks, and we had a short little conversation about eating hawks. But anyway, we're talking about what he's about to go through as as a Chicago Blackhawks podcast host slash fan. But he actually resides in Calgary, so he's cheating a little bit because he's also getting to watch probably one of the hotter hockey teams in the NHL right now. But
future Red Wing on their team, Patrick Kane.
God damn.
I'm bringing that back. Shit back. Just up to that.
That was my biggest worry of facing the Blackhawks this weekend. Is I was not only Mike, are you going to bring it up today? You're also going to bring it up on Sunday.
Well, we don't. Turns out we don't need Patrick Kane anymore. We've got going to be an all-star, Bobby Ryan, man. I just can't believe it.
Well, actually, to finish my thought, I was talking with Grant and saying, losing all those leads, like getting blown out kind of thing was maybe something, I felt a little bad for. Of course, as I mentioned, him hosting a Chicago Blackhawks show, I mean, how much pity am I really going to have for a team I hate so much? But I was trying to set him up, like, this is what you're ready for. And it's nice to know that at least so far this season, it's not, we were all tweeting it in those third periods, like, oh boy, here we go. And now we have a couple games now. And even the game we lost, it was good to see Bobby Ryan get in on there with about a minute to go. It does show a spirit right now that they've got. I think a lot of it is fueled by, one, it's fueled by Zadina, who we predicted early on would have good legs because he's coming over from Europe and he's ready to go. Two, obviously Bobby Ryan. Three, Mike, I think Dylan Larkin's playing some of the nastiest, grittiest hockey I've seen in a while. And that includes him scrapping with Werenski, which, fine, it's cute.
Well, Bobby Ryan was out there fighting too.
Absolutely.
He had some fighting words. Yeah.
I was describing it to Grant again in the interview you guys are going to hear. And it's just something where it looks like his motor just isn't quitting this year. And you even see the elation, like, on every goal on his face, everything that he's a part of. He is so freaking happy. Like, this really, he's really carrying this team. Like, this is my team. And so far we've seen the goal's going up for Bobby Ryan, but if there's a guy I've got to pick that just has a nonstop motor every time he's out there, It is 1,000%, and this isn't shocking to anyone, because we know he's got talent, we know he cares, but it is 1,000% Dylan Larkin so far, and I challenge you all to watch that guy skate around the ice. After that first game where he was, you know, on his heels a little bit, was kind of at fault, I would say, on a couple of, definitely some chances, but certainly the first goal of the season, but he's come around, I almost said 360, but 180, and that motor has not quit since. But yeah, all that wrapped together, it's 500 hockey. You know, like we still we're not winning this division. We know that, but it's still fun to see. Like this is going to be interesting hockey for the whole year. It's probably, Mike, if anything, it won't be as easy to watch because we might tease ourselves a little bit, like I am right now. Especially with the Blackhawks coming up, we could come out of this weekend two games above 500 because the Blackhawks suck. But anyway, Mike,
I would say two couple of kind of exciting trends. One for a bad reason. Shame on us for not foreseeing this. But the taxi squad has gotten a lot of play, unfortunately, thanks to our buddy Uncle COVID. For some reason we thought whoever was in that taxi cab was, you know, maybe going to get peppered in once or twice, but whew, we're four games into the season. We've already had, you know, multiple people having to, you know, get scratched, because of the pandemic. But at least it means, you know, we've gotten to see the bromades. We've gotten to see the Rasmussen is out there, Matt. We had a giant lineup, with him and, Mantha. It was pretty cool to see them play together. With Blashill kind of mixing up the lines, you know, as we get into games 3 and 4, just to kind of, you know, spread the wealth of that, you know, Bertuzzi, Larkin, Mantha magic. And the other trend that I definitely, you know, want to probably tear my rotator cuff for patting myself on the back. I predicted this. I predicted a 500 team, Matt, because you're playing the same team a couple games in a row. You get a series. You get time to make adjustments. You get used to each other. And I think teams are, you know, kind of sleeping on us a little bit. So they're kind of letting us get in the game. But kidding aside, it's been there's a real spark when Bobby Ryan's out there, not just scoring goals. You know, we got to hear it from Zadina. He's like, I love playing with Bobby Ryan. Love it. You know, it's not just that it's, you know, a new voice in the locker room. It's, you know, positivity, a guy with skill. You can be as positive as you want, but if you can't put pucks in nets, who cares? Bobby Ryan does not have that issue. I think he likes playing with Zadina as well. Really excited to watch those guys kind of develop, you know, even more chemistry. And it's nice to be optimistic for once. I think the goaltending's been pretty solid, Matt. And just, I know there's a couple worms on defense we might want to touch on today, but yeah. Gotta be happy with probably the best 2 and 4 points out of 4 games than anybody's ever been. So,
well, I mean, like some of the things that you brought up, I want to touch on too, because it looked like when you're trying to figure out what the hell are we getting right? Like when we're playing good and would we look so bad in game one? A lot of it actually, Mike, I think because our strategy is to limit opportunities. A lot of this is coming from if we can win the faceoff game. And we've been doing a lot better since game one. And that includes Rasmussen, who's 5 of 9. So he's at least above the threshold of 500 on that. So he's winning more than he's losing. A lot of that coming from Glendening. But, I mean, to come back to who's probably has the most responsibility in that faceoff circle so far. Dylan Larkin is 42 out of about 42 is 73, so he's above that 50% threshold, playing other teams' top lines and just giving us that opportunity to start with the puck. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it really is. It's one of those things where I probably sound like the guy who's like, you know what won the game for the Lions this week? Special teams.
Like, yeah, right.
And I hate that guy, but faceoffs, they're more important than special teams in football. Everything. If this strategy is going to work, nobody's going to get a ton of opportunities. We're not going to get a ton of opportunities, but especially them, we even limit those opportunities even further if we win those faceoffs. So I think right now that looks to be the difference between us having a complete crap show of a game and us being right in these games up until the last minute, of course, winning in overtime in game number two against Columbus. But, Mike, I walked over you.
No, I was just going to be on the coattails of that one. That first game when Fabry was getting his feet wet as a center in a game that, you know, mattered in the standings. I think he went, like, 1 for 10 or 0 for 8 or some awful, you know, ratio like 14. That.
2 of 14.
Once he started to just kind of get used to it, you know, we don't need him to, you know, we don't need him to be Yannick Perreault out there. We just need him to be, you know, get near like 50% or so, maybe even a little below, but just something near 50. And I know he was out the last game, but, you know, once you start winning, you know, half or more of those faceoffs, it really makes a difference. Once you had Bobby Ryan out there on a second scoring line with Zadina, really makes a difference. Once you have Bobby Ryan out there on the power play, it's starting to make a difference. So I did not think that I think we were all excited to see Bobby play, but my God, I didn't realize he'd be this indispensable for the success of this Red Wings team like we're seeing now. But at least outside of that, you know, Mantha has not really gotten going yet. So it's still encouraging to, you know, think that the Red Wings are not firing on all cylinders yet. There's still a couple other big stars who aren't, you know, quite putting up the numbers that we'd like to see yet. So it means that at least there's a little more depth than last year. So it's not totally hopeless if, you know, there's two or three guys not scoring.
Yeah, and I'd like to, you know, we start with this game one here on Columbus, and what I tweeted right after the game was, this is kind of confusing because possession and the scoring chances say we won. And that, you know, that was like the first time this season that we could say that. The Corsi was 52%. The high danger scoring chances were 63%. And then the expected goals was around 60%. So, right there, that's like a 2-1, 3-2 victory, depending on the scoring chances that are coming out there. And I threw out there, like, I'm trying to figure out, how did we lose this with that domination? And you brought up, Mike, earlier, we were going to take a dump on some of our defensemen. I think it starts and ends with Mark Stahl so far. So here's my case, okay? I'm going to say we lost game one. And I know it's ridiculous to put it on one guy because there's 18 guys and a goalie, right?
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes the goalie, if he has such a crap show, you can say it was this goalie's fault. Mike, we are limiting chances on the ice. That's our game for both sides, okay? We're all in agreement. That's what we're trying to do. I'm going to take the words from Max Boltman, who calls it a low event style of gameplay. Again, what you're doing there is bringing down the talent level. If you're going to be outskilled when you're looking at guys from an eyeball test, now you're taking it, you're trying to cut that in half, like how much that skill is going to affect your team's lack of skill. I think we're seeing, you know, maybe that's not so true, but how you can come up to their compete level is by just ensuring that nobody's really getting shot chances. And that's really playing tough in the neutral zone, making the entrances and exits out of zones extremely difficult, playing a lot tighter. And that's where you focus. It's just that the hurt there is on your own offensive scoring chances. So, Mike, if we're not going to get any, it means you have to take advantage of those scoring chances. And that's where Mark Stahl comes in, who led the team, Mike, in individual expected goals, which means that he had the absolute best scoring chance, which was the empty net. He rang off the post. That's right. Empty netter off the post. Red Wings lose by one goal. So let's continue this thread. The Red Wings are limiting chances. So that means if you're going to limit them, they have to be difficult chances. You can't give up easy one-on-ones or breaks. And Mark Stahl not only helped give up the puck, but then left the ice on Pierre-Luc Dubois' goal, making it one-on-one with Stetcher, which Stetcher is part of some of the blame here, is a little weak on the effort for taking down Dubois. I don't know if at that point, because Dubois has the skill, if maybe you play him a little bit harder and take the penalty. You don't want to give him a penalty shot. But I'm putting less on this on Stetcher, more on Mark Stahl, because this is a team game, Mike. Stahl stays on the ice. Dubois does not get the chance that he gets. Mike, You're limiting chances. Mark Stahl screws one of them up. He also creates one for the other team. If he's not at complete fault, he's at least number one on the crap list. That, yeah. Like, when we win the possession game and the chance game, you've got to find how that failed you. I say Mark Stahl.
Yeah, he's had a couple rough games for sure. I can't remember the national guys. I can't remember if I heard it was it Eddie Olchuk still does that job or McGuire? They were calling like a replay of the Red Wings, and I think Mark Stahl managed to make a good play. And I can't remember if it was McGuire or Olchuk, and he was just talking up, "Oh, look at Mark Stahl, still got it." And then the very next, like, 3 seconds, Stahl gave up a goal, and he's like, "Well, I just finished saying something nice about him." I think still, even seeing that, you know, Mark Stahl, you know, be at the end of his career, it happens. It's still encouraging for me because in the past couple seasons, you could almost just collectively say, "Oh man, our team sucks." But now you can just say, "Oh man, that player sucks." And it's better than, you know, saying having a, you know, with a wide brush, just kind of paint the whole team as bad. You know, we could kind of see where, you know, if you had Mo Sider in that spot, my God, where this team could start to be defensively. It could be a strength. I just feel bad for poor Merrill having to play two sides of the ice at the same time. So hopefully he gets a Gatorade and a nice orange slice for all that hard work he's going to be doing.
Stetcher for the most part.
Oh, Merrill,
I think they switched it up already. We're talking.
He's getting an orange slice, like I told you.
This is the main complaint from Red Wings fans is the constant blender of lines. So it's always tough to keep up with Jeff Blashill. So I mean, at any point in the game, Mark Stahl's playing with anybody. I mean, there's not too much to say outside of that. Like, I think he's a pretty easy target right now. I made the comment that he led the team in individual expected goals on that game, and then of course in the next game, his this is basically tracking like nobody's going to score every game, right? So.
Except Bobby
you're basically
Ryan.
breaking the individual expected goal mark when you score, because statistically nobody's going to be scoring just like from an individual basis, but you add them all up and eventually game after game you earn a goal. So when I say that Mark Stahl's score was zero, that means from his shot attempts on the ice, none of them, there wasn't a shot attempt that came close to registering as a scoring chance. So it's just one of those things where we saw the first game, he had probably the primo best shot to score and rang it off the post. So it's just, for me, I'm going to, like I said, he's an easy target. It's silly to say the game was one guy's fault, but the numbers are there.
Yeah.
All right. So game number two, Mike, we win. So I think this is where the fun comes into play. And I think it would be fun to share a couple of these, goals, and it starts with you were talking about the struggles of Anthony Mantha, and you kind of hope that something's going to fall in his lap to get him rolling, and lo and behold, that is exactly what happened. If I could get this lined up, where the puck bounces off I believe off of Bertuzzi's skate and then right to Mantha, as I put it, the look what I found goal. Like, look, Mantha played a lot better in this fourth game in the second against Columbus, but I think we can all agree we expect a lot more than this being the goal that's on the record books. We want to see the guy who scored four goals against Montreal, or was it against Montreal or Dallas, or was it Anaheim?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
One of those teams. Yeah,
it was Montreal. If it wasn't Montreal, it just feels like it.
All right. They were a part of those victories in the start of the season. It might have been Anaheim. No, but anyway, that four-goal performance, like, that's what we want to see. And maybe not – we don't expect four goals because we were just talking about the individual expected goals and how unlikely it is for everyone to score one goal in a game. It just – this can't be it. And I'm happy for Mantha. I think this was fun, but to that point, this needs to get better for us to go, okay, maybe that March, where I said it's possible for us to be thinking playoffs in March, not saying we're a playoff team, but as I described it.
Matt guaranteed it.
No,
get on DraftKings. Put your bottom dollar on it. Matt said playoffs.
Listen, what I'm saying is that, like, beat writers will mention it. Like, when we're 8 points out, they're like, well, if we win these next four games and this team
if we can win out
four,
in February and March and April, we'll be an 11 seed. And then if somebody else loses out, those 3 months, we're in.
So I'm saying we're in. What I'm saying is that it'll be a part of the conversation. But, like, to that end, if we want to have more fun hockey, if we want that to be part of what we're seeing, then more... You know what? Less of that.
I don't know why DraftKings is our sponsor. It should be Kool-Aid, because you've been drinking a lot of it these past couple days. Let me tell you. That red and white Kool-Aid, huh?
Woohoo!
A little fruit punch and white cherry for Matt.
Woo! It's also,
hey, how long is, what's the delay on UPS delivering your Bobby Ryan jersey?
It says it's going to take about two. Oh, damn you, you piece of garbage.
You didn't rush order it?
I knew where you were coming from.
Did you rush order it after that fourth goal?
Well, let's take a peek at it. There he is celebrating. How cute.
Did you? Does yours say, Ryan on it, or does it say Bobby?
With two heart emojis on either side. I'm all about this. Like, this is
and
crazy.
put a little C on it.
Give the C from,
or you could put like an A. How about an A+?
That'd be cute. I mean, who's not a Bobby Ryan fan right now? I mean, talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, when this guy got interviewed after his first goal, he shot up right away. Like, why are you here, Steve Yzerman? Which we're cool. I'm fine with. I'm only partially teasing. That's really awesome that's what rattles off his tongue from the moment he's asked that question. But, I mean, who's not a fan? This is all good. This is everything. Mike, we joked on Twitter, like, before the season started. We said, well, what do we do if Bobby Ryan has 20 goals and, like, we're sniffing a playoff spot or something like that? Or, you know, like, are you still going to trade him? Are you going to trade him right when he hits that 20-goal mark? And, you know, people responded like, listen, doofus, he's going to have, like, 3-4 goals tops. You know what? He already did that. Woo! So.
I really hope he gets the 5 goals. It would really suck if he stopped at 3 or 4 goals, man. Oh, my God.
But yeah, let's, I mean, this is a time to celebrate. Like, this is, if we're talking about a guy that we were ultimately going to trade, the trade value is just going through the roof right now. I mean, he's not just scoring. He looks really good doing it, right? Like, we're not being ridiculous here. Like, he's skating so well on the ice and making
his plays. Hey, hold on. Don't you dare discredit a goal just because, you know, it doesn't look cool. All right. Bertuzzi got a game-winning goal. All right. I don't care if it bounced off his nutsack. That still counts, and we got to win, man.
All right, I'll pull that one up, too, because I immediately shot up from my couch, and I was like, oh, I'll get a couple likes on Twitter if I share this one. There's our boy. Larkin throwing it at the net and just watching the sucker bounce. Right up. You know what? That's hitting him in the nuts, right? Because I saw people online afterwards saying it hit him in the tushy. Like, that's nowhere tushy. Near the tush. That's right in the cojones.
What side do you think tushies are on? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty totally... impressed with Bertuzzi that he wasn't doubled over in pain. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about. This is where the wins come from. That's when I'm ragging on Mark Stahl for missing those empty netters. And for everybody who's missing this and just listening to the podcast, not watching it on YouTube,
I have a quick question. If you carom and you point it with your skate, that's no goal. But is it okay if you do this? Like, just kind of flex forward? Is that okay?
Yes. Like, we saw, like, even with Bobby Ryan's goal in the previous game, like, he was kind of like, chesting that one in there. The big question was, you know, he got pushed into the net, so that's why they were originally not going to allow the Bobby Ryan goal. But, yeah. he did he charge the net or did he get pushed in? So then it got allowed. But you could tell, like, I don't care what anybody says. He did get pushed into the net, but he directed his body into that puck to knock it in. Like, that 1,000% is where his head was at. And, you know, we're all the better for it. But, yeah, you can gyrate into the net. It's because that's something you can – that's playing that same game. That's where you can hide it. You can just, you know, I had an itch. You had to get readjust the strap, your jack strap. So, you just knock it in. I mean, we saw, when we won the Stanley Cup, we saw – was it Draper that took one right in the teeth against the Dallas Stars? So,
yeah.
you can headbutt it in. Just don't grab it and just don't kick it.
We got to reach out to a friend of the show, Max Boltman, and see if at practice the Red Wings are working on their gyrations. Yeah. All right, Larkin, flick one at me. But yeah, outside of that, Matt, are we ready to dive into our games here?
Yeah, let's do this. We are all right, you know what? Yeah, let's just do Who's That Pokemon. I'm sorry. Ready, Mike?
Oh, I'm always ready for that. Matt!
Who's that?
That Pokemon! Pokemon! Yeah, one of our favorite games on the show, where I get to take a quote cherry pick from your beloved, usually head coach Jeff Blashill. It's read by guest friend of the show, Paul Woods. Matt, today is no exception. As always, I will throw you the lifeline. Do you want your brother to read it or Paul Woods?
1,000% I want Paul Woods.
Matt, go fuck yourself. So here comes Paul Woods. He's a big fan of mine and a bigger fan of reading these quotes. Man, does he love being on Who's That Pokemon? He won't stop talking about Who's That Pokemon. So, without further ado, here we go. Hey there, brothers. A couple of guys doing a Red Wing podcast. That's what we need is more podcasts out in the universe. So, here's what we're going to do. We actually got a quote. Matt, you're going to try and guess who that quote is referring to. It's from captain of your Detroit Red Wings, Dylan Larkin. So immediately, you know, Dylan Larkin is probably not talking about himself, or maybe he is. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Blank has done a great job. I think he's created tons of chances. He's a huge body who has really worked on his skating. So he's getting up and down. He's making plays. He's winning big faceoffs for us. He's digging in. He's battling. End quote. Matt. Who's that quote about?
Now, when you said he has a big body, did you mean a big Bobby? No, it's Michael Rasmussen. No doubt in my mind, because he's winning faceoffs. He's got the big body. Why would he be talking about that when it's you know, Bobby Ryan or Manton? You know, none of that adds up. It's only Michael Rasmussen.
I don't know, mate. Could be talking about Mark Stahl. Big body.
Winning all those faceoffs. All right. No, you're right. Mark Stahl. I changed my answer.
Matt is off the schneid. It is. He's got a horrible nickname. It's just Raz.
Ew.
It's actually, it feels Raz like a raspberry. I think I'd approve, but it's just R-A-S. Raz. Raz has done a great job.
Razzmatazz. Hey, Razzmatazz.
Yo, raspberry, why don't you snap one off? Yeah. So, Matt, that was Who's That Pokemon?
Ew. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's a nice, easy one. I may have heard that quote spoken.
Oh, man. Stop doing your Who's That Pokemon homework. God. Find something else to do. Raise your child.
This is all I've got.
Hey, little girl, want me to read you a story? Rasmussen has done a great job, Dylan Larkin said Tuesday night. And then I won Who's That Pokemon. Ha, 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 ha.
I should start reading that to her. That's a good idea. All right, so Mike, I'm gonna pick this series. I'm gonna let everybody know we're actually keeping track of our records right now, and myself, Mike, and our blogger Jesse, we all have had wins and losses so far. So we're 2-2. We've just flipped games that we've actually picked incorrectly. So I, Mike, for this weekend, I'm going to go 2 wins, We'll figure out exactly where the puck line falls, but I'm guessing that we're actually going to be favored to win. But I have no problem with us getting to that two-goal mark. So I'll say if it's wins, I'm picking Red Wings. If we're playing puck line, I'm going to flip-flop it for one of the games and say one of them will be close. But we are going to win two games. So,
yeah. Is Saturday nationally televised?
Sunday. Friday and Sunday.
Oh. Matt, give me a win on Sunday. I think Bobby Ryan's going to have a hat trick. And Friday is going to be a loss because we're still doing 50-50.
All right. I'm all there for it.
All right.
Well, with that, folks, we're going to go into our conversation with Grant from Hungry for Hawks. We can get a little more in-depth in what's coming up this weekend and hear it from the Blackhawks podcast themselves, get a little more detail on what's going on with their team, injury-wise, who's actually going to be taking the ice. And we do go a little bit deeper into what went wrong with the Blackhawks and how they're still without a win this year. Like, how did that happen? And it's not just the injuries and guys not playing this year. I think we all know this is going a little bit worse than it should for the Blackhawks. And we have some ideas from Grant. So sit back.
I think we're also going to touch with Grant and see, if they want a fourth-round pick for Patrick Kane.
You know, Mike, that didn't come up. Surprisingly,
that would have been the first issue in my interview. But, yeah.
All right, let's make sure I got this all queued up correctly. Everyone, I think I jump into an intro, so enjoy. All right, everybody, as promised, we're going to take a jump around that Central Division presented by Discover. We spoke with Kane's Train Podcast, and things went pretty well. If you're a Red Wings team that walks away with a split series, I think that's pretty good. So today, we've got Grant from a Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast, because I wrote down Hungry for Hawks, and that's not enough. We're not talking food here. We are talking Blackhawks conversations. You know what? I gotta say, like, As a Red Wings fan, I have a picture that pops up. I don't know if you use Time Hop. I have one that pops up, obviously, on a yearly basis, of me in Chicago at the team store flipping off that logo. And it warms my heart every single time that it comes up. And just like how the season's probably going to turn out for us, it's going to turn out similarly for the Blackhawks. And I couldn't be happier. I guess to turn things more like, with no animosity between us, I do apologize for what you're about to go through. I know what it feels like. But yeah, let's, I guess we did want to establish maybe a bet here to see who's going to land that first pick. I think we have some discussions in regards to, are we going to wait till after the lottery, or are we just going to see who finishes last? But anyway, as we both know, we've got a couple of games coming up Friday, and then we are the NBC game of the week Sunday afternoon.
Oh boy.
Man. Yeah, I made fun of the Red Wings. I don't know how you feel about that, but we'll be showing off to the rest of the league. You know what? I'm throwing that out there for you. Sounds like you were prepared to hear that news. How does that make you feel? Are you worried about showing off those Blackhawks on Sunday?
Boys, this is must-watch hockey. Detroit versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Are you kidding me? What else are you going to be watching on Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon? It's not like football's going on or anything like that. So tune into that. I mean, fuck. Detroit versus Chicago. Let's go. I was going to say too earlier there, Matt, I mean, yeah, if you just ended at Hungry for Hawks, I don't think Hawks would be a particularly yummy type of food. So definitely the Hawks talk, get that in there. So, but yeah.
You don't think that one falls under the Taste Like Chicken banner?
I think they're a lot more leaner. I don't think there's much meat on a Hawk.
So we got to find a chubby Hawk. So.
Yeah, I got to find a chubby Hawk.
All right. So maybe, this is what everybody tuned in to hear. So this is how we played it in the last episode where I was speaking with the Canes train. Basically, I mean, what we're looking at is series by series. So, you know, hopefully I can actually make this work for your podcast next time and I can come on and we can do more like a chit chat thing. But I can't help but look at this and be so excited by the Red Wings. Geez, the 500 start, quite a hot start for us. and just start, you know, licking my chops with Chicago coming up next. I mean, the home ice thing is out the window. I think Bobby Ryan has decided that he wants to find a Stanley Cup contender by the trade deadline. So, I mean, honestly, like top level, we go, let's take as far a macro view as we can take a look at this. I got to say, I'd be silly to not think we're at least coming out with one win, but I feel pretty good about two right now.
And man, I wouldn't blame you on that front. I mean, starting the season, tripping out of the gate, 0-3-1. At least we got the 1 point, though. That's I am happy with the 1 point.
Yeah.
And to be completely honest with you, too, there, Matt. I mean, I am over the moon. I talked about this earlier in my episode with my co-host Dylan. I'm happy with the way. Like, not happy with the way the boys are playing. I'm just happy with where the season is going. I mean, if you're going to pick one season to suck, a shortened 56-game season is the season to suck.
Get it out of the way.
I'm happy for that top three pick. I was saying earlier in my podcast, too, I want to get hashtag power down for Owen trending on Twitter amongst Blackhawks Nation. I think this is the year. I mean, when else would be the year to do this? Jonathan Toews is out for an indefinite amount of time with an illness. Kirby Dach injured his wrist in his first shift at the World Juniors. There's no other reason to try this season. I mean, we have every excuse to suck. We don't have an NHL caliber goaltender. This is the year. Let's just suck, get the top three pick and get out of here. We're laughing next year.
Well, here's the, you know, like with the Red Wings situation, we immediately jump into like everybody's going into 2021 draft and we're like, oh, what are you doing? Let's look at 2022. So I hope that you're not playing that game. But I mean, chances are neither one of us are going to be taking a huge leap over the next couple of years. So we were actually working on our hashtags for 2021. Pretty early on, so we've got, let me know what you think about these. We've got Snuff the Spark to land Brant Clark. We're huge into rhyming here, by the way. Hashtag Fed to the Crows for Carson Lambeaus. Okay. Turn and Cower for Owen Power. That will be, that's the one we're competing on. Lose a Ton for Edvinson. Only problem is he's kind of dropped a little bit in regards to where he was a couple of months ago. And then my favorite, of course, Atu Ratu can't really decide where he wants to be in the prospect rankings, but he made it because he's got a fun name. So it's hashtag play like doo-doo for Atu Ratu.
I like that. I like that one the best, I'd say.
All right. So just based on that, that'll be the guy we're hoping for. But no, I mean, to quickly touch on the 2021 draft talk. I know I'd almost have to tease you because you said looking for that top three draft pick, but you got to throw in that number four in there, my man, because we know it all too well how likely that is.
You and Ottawa, I guess.
But exactly. But even to that point, I mean, this is going to be a good draft to not need to win the first pick. I mean, I just said it right at the top there. Like, these have been fluctuating on a monthly basis, if not weekly, where it was something like 2 years in advance, we were saying Lafreniere. And despite what you know, Hughes looked like before a couple days ago, he was still recognized as number one for a while, and then you know, again, this is such an odd way to put it because he had such a great game the other night. But before then, did he really look like a first pick? Not so much. So I at least like the fact that in this year it is such a toss up, and I'm assuming that these things are going to change in a little bit too. You know, like we'll go another month in, somebody else will have a hot streak. And it, you know, it is funny too. Like when I was first making these, it was Ratu that was at the top of the list. And I think part of that is because we like to go forward first in the NHL and draft wise. But again, I think just to, not that I should be rooting for the Blackhawks as a Red Wings fan, but you know, once you put a face on something, I can't be mean now. I see you. You're right there. I can't be mean anyway. But I completely agree with that sentiment. Like this is. To your point, that year where failing's going to be, it's going to work out pretty good for a lot of us. As long as you're not a playoff team, which even right now with the Red Wings hot start, we're still outside. We're number five in the division. So any of those teams that sit outside, I mean, they're going to have a pretty good shot for probably the top six guys. And that's saying a lot. Because even this past season, I mean, the Red Wings got Lucas Raymond, but you know, one of the games you're playing there with your prospects is he actually going to be on the team next year? And there's actually still a conversation about that. I hope he is. I think he should be, but that's more along the lines of like individual prospect to prospect. But with this upcoming draft class, I think we all are going to have a pretty good shot at adding someone that'll be on the roster, at least for all of us shitty teams, that'll be on the roster in those first 2 years. So to that, good on you. good going. So let's talk what's currently going on. We touched on it a little bit. I part of this was me getting set up to discuss. I apologize here, but I was ready to discuss for the Chicago Blackhawks fans what's going on for the Red Wings. So I'm just going to have to spin this around and just turn the mic and the spotlight on you and just give us a rundown of exactly what the Blackhawks did besides the injuries. But what are we looking at from a roster perspective? We know, like you said, who's out due to injuries. And I think we all saw what happened goaltending wise. But what are we looking at through your first four games? Like what do we see in top to bottom here?
Well, top to bottom, I would probably say that the team isn't playing like they have the chemistry yet. So, you know, I already talked about this with my co-host earlier too. What we find is that it's a lot of messy plays that, mm-hmm. That the Hawks are doing. And it could be attributed to the amount of free agents that we brought in. There are a lot of new faces with the Lucas Walmark and Matthias Janmark, Andrew Shaw coming back into the fold, Nikita Zadorov on the back end, Ian Mitchell playing his first season. Lots of young guys stepping into the lineup, the Pius Suters, the Brandon Hagels, who got his first game of the season in yesterday, and Philip Kurashev, who got his first goal of the season last night against the Florida Panthers as well. I find that the team just isn't cohesive yet. Like they haven't figured out how to play with each other. My co-host Dylan says that he finds that the team is kind of playing a more individualistic style of play, where they're kind of, each individual is trying to be the hero, make the big play. Instead of playing as a team, using your teammates, finding the open guy and getting the puck out. It's been a lot of running around in our own end. When we get into the offensive zone, when we stumble into the offensive zone, we kind of just throw it around and the passes aren't crisp. So the only guy who's actually playing well is Patrick Kane. And of course that makes sense, but I do feel that, not having our number one center and captain, heart of the team, Jonathan Toews, to start the season really has affected the lines and the players' mentality. I don't understand why Keith and Murphy are having so much trouble to start the season. They've been at the center of a few atrocious giveaways and poor defensive plays. But I mean, I think they're just starting to figure things out, or trying to figure things out. I mean, when your goalie gives up five goals every night, it's not overly the best either. And the only good thing that's going for us right now is our power play. We've scored a power play goal in all four games, so which is a big step up since our power play was atrocious last year.
I mean, yeah, like when you're looking at, I'm cheating here and pulling up through Hockey Reference, like that 863 is the best goaltending save percentage you guys are tossing out there. Like I am too familiar with what, what that feels like on a night to night basis to know. And again, we're four games in, but I still think that's a low enough number between those three guys. So that's interesting too, to see that. Is this gone too taxi for any COVID reasons? And forgive my ignorance of the Blackhawks situation, but, or is this just strictly, let's see if one of these guys can make this work?
It's 100% just let's see what we have in these three guys. I mean, we know Malcolm Subban has always been a project. Colin Delia played pretty well when Corey Crawford went down with his concussion symptoms a couple seasons ago. He stepped in and played league average, but to start the season, he's looked awful. I mean, just bad. I mean, there are stretches where he's played pretty well, but some of the goals that he's let in are too soft. And I mean, Lankinen yesterday was his first NHL start and he's jumping in from the AHL. So never played any type of NHL games. We also have to put into account that, you know, these guys didn't really get a training camp. They got like what, 2 weeks?
Right.
Like I said, a lot of new faces coming in. It's not enough time for guys to get comfortable with each other, to know where each other are. And you can see it in the game. I mean, the Hawks players don't know where everybody is. They're just throwing the puck around, hoping that it'll find some tape, but it never seems to get there.
I mean, and I'm not going to say this just to rag on the Hawks, because I hear your tone from last year. and I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm sitting here going, now the Red Wings are good.
Yeah.
But, those five goal games. I mean, we were going to break a record last year for most, you know, four plus goal losses, at least in like the modern hockey era. So it was something, it takes a lot of effort to be that bad. And I know how frustrating it can be to watch that for a full season. So again, just to kind of reiterate that initial idea throughout there, I do feel your pain there. But I like, from the Red Wings perspective, this really does feel like, and for our podcast, what we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks is how incredibly easy it'll be to look like a playoff team in March with just like a hot week. And coming along with that seems to be a Columbus Blue Jackets team that can't score. And who knows if the Dallas Stars are ever going to play a hockey game. And to be completely honest, I don't even know what that means for their practice schedule. I mean, you talk about how weird, us to start the season missed out on a real training camp, a real preseason. I wonder if it's going to be that much worse for another couple weeks of Dallas Stars games. Mm-hmm. To come back to this point, the Red Wings sit at 2-2. They're going to have a Blackhawks team, as you're putting it, that's still scrambling to find themselves. This really does feel like there is an opportunity. And when I say look like a playoff team in March, I mean, you know, I still say if you're 8 points out of a playoff, then the local newspapers are still going to be writing like, here's if we win these four games and those guys lose those four, like that's kind of the mindset that I'm looking for to kind of describe someone that's in like that bubble. But this is it. Like those are those opportunities. This is where the Red Wings, I think, stole one from Carolina. They severely were outplayed just from me watching that game. Actually, I watched it twice, the victory, just to figure out what the hell we did right.
Because those don't come up very often, do they?
I'll tell you, on Monday it was so weird because we were actually dominating play against the Columbus Blue Jackets for two periods, and then it was just kind of like, I don't know if it's Torts like turning the fire on between periods, or if it was just us going, you know what, third period's overrated, nobody needs it, which was a common theme for us last season. But again, just to kind of come to this point, and then I'm going to bring it around to how this affects the Blackhawks. But this could be those turning points, I think, when this battle starts, where the Red Wings have this fire right now, especially with Bobby Ryan playing hot. You've got Dylan Larkin as the new captain, that every time he's on the ice, the guy, he's always been, you know, running those jets into overdrive and burning out all the fuel till the end of the game. But now it's like another level. It's like he needs to prove himself as captain of this team. I really see this as the Red Wings going, you know what? We can get these wins. Let's make Bobby Ryan think he should stay here. And to now spin this conversation. So again, me thinking the Red Wings want to take advantage of this. I really do think like we're screwing things up in regards to this draft. Because I do see us sneaking away, like I said, at least with one win. I do have that inkling of the two wins. And like I said, bringing us back to the Blackhawks conversation, I think, yeah, you guys are going to get that bottom spot in the division. And this is that key first series. Because if I'm going to sit there and bullshit about the playoffs and being in that playoff conversation come March, there's also the conversation of who's going to win the best odds for the NHL draft. And I think the same conversation happens. It's whoever goes out that cold start, not the hot start, but whoever has the coldest start. And this can really put a damper on whatever Wings fans might have in their mind, whatever Steve Yzerman as the GM has in his mind for what he wanted to draft this year. But this is that huge, it's almost a joke the way I'm putting it right now, but this is that huge point. The first big chess move, I think, in regards to getting that first pick. I mean, from the perspective of a Blackhawks fan, do you relish this opportunity now that I'm done with my TED talk? Or do you relish this opportunity to kind of get the upper hand for that bottom bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, I'll give you the two wins. Take them. I could give those away like hotcakes. I don't care. Take the wins. Dig us a hole. I'd be happy to be in the bottom. And I hope Dallas plays, because right now Dallas is the only team without any points. And if the season ended today, then oh boy, they get the best odds at number one. But I you know what it is, Matt? I think it almost feels like I'm cheating to get the top three spots, because like I said, it's only a 56 game season. You guys had to slog through. I mean, last season it was only what, 68 something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But it was a historically bad season. You guys only had 17 wins.
We were gunning for
something.
It.
I mean, like
that 17 right on the button. That goal differential, yeah. Too. That was another one where in the modern era we were coming for that. We were coming for that record.
I feel like I'm cheating a little bit, because you know we can achieve that in 56 games. We can achieve a top three pick in 56 games, and that is less heartache for the average Blackhawks fan than it would be in a regular season. And this is, again, the season to suck. The divisions are different, the schedule is different, you know, like everything is different about this season. So you know, if we can walk out of here with a top three pick, hell yeah, I'll keep losing. I'm down to keep losing.
This is where, like last year when I was taking the tours through some of the different podcasts, I did get some shit because they were saying, how could you watch these games and be actively rooting for them to lose? And I want to get your thoughts on this, because it sounds like we're going to be on the same page here, but like, the mediocrity does nothing for me. When the Red Wings were playing that game, like the marketing game of, 22 straight playoffs, 23, 24, 25, I didn't give a shit. We're about to go in the first round and get destroyed. And even if we got lucky and made it through a round, I'll never forget that seven game series with the Blackhawks. Like, deep down, I still had that pit of like, oh my God, we don't belong here. What are we doing? We I guess we didn't blow at the time, but you could feel the thing starting to turn in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I could legitimately look at that, and I think Red Wings fans will probably, you know, throw tomatoes at me if they were here. But I mean, the Blackhawks were a better team at that point. But long story short, I just what what would be the point of wanting to be like the Minnesota Wild for so many years, you know, sneaking into the playoffs and then, you know, I guess the hands of the Blackhawks going down, but like that does nothing. Maybe I don't like sports as much as everybody else. Maybe like that's what was thrown at me last year. And I'll go, okay. I mean, I'm still going to watch every Wings game, but I get to laugh through it. I mean, honestly, how do you feel about that? I know you're kind of halfway there, but, like pretend that person's in your face and telling you like, no, you got to struggle for playoffs year after year.
Yeah. There's no point. I mean, even like you made a good point, even when you said that, you know, when you guys were in your 23rd, 24th, 25th year of making the playoffs, it was like, it got to the point where it was, oh, it's just like your first round. Oh, it's just Detroit.
Right.
Like that mentality already. Oh, it's just Detroit. It. Like
second round.
You don't want that. You don't want to be that team. You don't want to be the team where, it's just Arizona. Oh, it's just fucking Buffalo. Like you don't want to be that team.
Right.
Like why would you want to suffer through that? Like you want to be terrible so that you can start to be good. And it's not that I'm purposefully wanting them to lose. I am genuinely happy when they score goals. If they win a game, great. I'm happy for the team. It's just what I'm looking for out of this season. You know, we made a Magic School Bus. Do you ever watch Magic School Bus as a kid, Miss Frizzle?
Yeah.
Made that reference. I'm looking for our players to get out there, make mistakes, get messy, you know, just play the game and understand the mistakes that you're making, work to fix them and get better that way. Because there's no reason to, like you said, to be a middling team. Like I'm also a Flames fan. I'm a big Flames fan. I grew up in Calgary. I've spent enough time being a middling team. Like the Flames were also a very middling team. So the fact that they're actually good this year is nice to watch as well. But yeah, it's I've had enough of middling teams. Either be good or be terrible so that we can start to be good. Like don't do this Minnesota thing where you're signing random ass free agents to like veteran free agents to two long term contracts. But
well, yeah,
that was a shot in the dark. But you know,
I gotcha. I had from Puck Soup, I had Ryan Lambert on a couple weeks ago, and he said there's like in the odd year you'll get, you know, one of the bottom teams will make it to the Stanley Cup finals. But he said overall, when you're watching hockey year to year, and I like how he put it because he at least had a number to look at. He said there's the top eight and the bottom eight. And you either are at that point where you never want to be struggling to get into the top eight. You want to be a solid top eight where you just want to bottom out and try and get a good draft pick. And there's really no any other way to find long-term success in the NHL. I mean, I think like for the Red Wings, I can safely admit you were talking about cheating earlier, the Red Wings. I mean, if you really look at what was going on in those draft years where we were okay, and then all of a sudden we have Nicholas Lidstrom and Sergei Fedorov, and now we're just going to carry this. And then Datsyuk and Zetterberg, that was them taking huge risks. If those guys were sure things, they all would have been first round picks. So it's like I say cheating, but it's also, there's a lot of luck mixed in there. I don't know in today's NHL with how much scouting there is and how, you know, like, I mean, scouting this year was all through Zoom. So somewhere all of these games you can watch. So that thing I think is gone. Like nobody's going to do a Red Wings again. So coming back to that point, I think it like cyclical belongs in every walk of life. If we're talking about fashion, you know, right here, we're talking about sports, talking about pop culture, everything's cyclical. Eventually there won't be any more superhero movies. It might be a long cycle, but eventually that's going to happen. So to that point, I think all these franchises just at some point need to accept when they hit that point. I think, you know, there's probably a mirror between what Ken Holland, the, you know, the former GM of the Detroit Red Wings, and like Stan Bowman. And I listened to your podcast, I got two episodes today because our Apple podcasts are a little screwy right now, where the top podcast for both our shows is like a December show. So I had to scroll through and find your latest one, Bickle, which, by the way, Revan,
yeah, that is weird.
The Bickle episode, it is worth the search if you're watching on Apple Podcasts. We'll get that figured out, but that was a banger of an episode. Just got to throw that out there.
Thank you very much.
Someone who grew up hating Bickle, I could still sit there and enjoy that conversation mightily. Fantastic get, by the way.
Thank you.
And
appreciate that.
Lost my train of thought. Right. Oh, okay. So listening to your December episode, you were talking about Stan Bowman, and I couldn't help but just see again myself in your shoes. I think the thing though is that you guys are maybe just 1 year behind, and you're fewer years removed from championship credibility than the Red Wings have been. So we've just been we played that middling game way too long. But I do want to get your thoughts on like what it means to you to just finally give up, like from a GM perspective, from the top office. Because for us, it just kind of felt like, you know, going back to those playoff years, we're just going to keep trying to get to the playoffs because it's easy to market and we can keep saying we're a playoff team. But like, doesn't it just feel good to just know it's done? And there's another point here too about how easy it is to podcast about a team you know isn't going to do anything this year. I honestly do think we have the easiest jobs in the entire Hockey Podcast Network. We can focus on having fun, looking ahead to the future, have Bickle interviews. I know there's frustrations with Stan Bowman to finally come back to my question, but doesn't it feel good maybe to be forced into this a little bit with Taves being out and the injuries from the World Juniors? Like, doesn't it feel kind of good to just be in it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've fallen all the way in. Like, I'm happy with the way the season's starting. And I mean, there's no better excuse than right now. I mean, top two centers are out with long-term injuries. And, you know, the point with Bowman is that, I mean, you obviously listen to the podcast, so you know my thoughts. I don't think he's the best GM. I don't think, I mean, he's a good guy who can find that diamond in the rough in the European leagues. I mean, he was able to find Dominik Kubalík, Artemi Panarin. He's very, very good at scouting the European market. So I was hoping that, you know, we'd maybe move him more towards that, but of course they seem to be confident in what he's doing. Hopefully he never makes another trade again, because Buddy's just like, his trade history is just god awful.
That was what I,
because like I think, like, if you follow the,
oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, I think the Hawks have been a middling team because of the moves that Bowman decided that he had to make. I mean, trading Panarin was, there was no reason to do that. There was absolutely no reason to do that. And if you watch the trade tree, I think you end up with, like, you end up trading Artemi Panarin for Nikita Zadorov. So it's like, not that Zadorov is bad, but like, come on, man, it's Artemi Panarin. Like, you can't be giving up. And then not to mention Toivo Teravainen, who's also flourished in Carolina after he played very well with Patrick Kane, showed a lot of chemistry with Patrick Kane.
It's actually got rid
of Henry Yoki Haru.
Like, from the Red Wings perspective, our issue is always loyalty. And we all know, like, we've up until this year where Yzerman just outright dropped him, we've all been complaining about the Abdelkader contract. We're still dealing with the Nielsen one. I mean, even before then, we were all like, what does Cleary need to be on this team for? Jonathan Erickson. I mean, the list for us goes on. It was just because somebody might have sniffed a former Stanley Cup champion. They were like, well, this guy, he's a Red Wing for life. And it's so interesting that the Blackhawks might actually be the exact opposite, where there was, it was like, even a guy showed, you know, there was the talent. We all knew Panarin was going to be what he is with the Rangers. I think, I feel like I saw it early on. So where, you know, maybe that's where that difference was. There was, for the Red Wings, it was too much loyalty. Could it be for the Blackhawks? Not enough.
When it comes to Stan Bowman, 100%. I mean, the guy, there have been multiple stories, like not that I've been like, not that I don't have the source, but I've heard from others, that, you know, he's not a good, I don't want to say he's not a good person. I don't know what kind of person he is, but like he doesn't treat his players very well. Because in his mind, he's the general manager. You just have to do what he says. And players are just there to play. So in a way, that's a good structure because you don't want to be giving, you know, you don't want to be listening to your players too much because then you start making mistakes based on emotion. You make decisions based on emotions. But when he started the season and, you know, basically didn't even ask Taves or Kane or Keith or Seabrook about their opinions about how the season should go. I mean, I understand that you want to be the general manager. You are the general manager. You earned it however you wanted. I mean, some people say that he didn't earn that position. But that's a different story. The fact that he wouldn't even talk to the guys that you call are like the four cornerstones of your franchise. The fact that you're not even talking to them about your season, your off-season plans or anything like that. Like that's kind of weird. I mean, you want to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, like the conversation that Steve Yzerman had with the media when he was talking about Larkin becoming captain, as he just went over and over about how many times he's had a chance to speak with Larkin and how, I mean, he, you know, this is to throw in my own, this is another story for another day, but I guess he broke COVID protocol to, you know, bring him in and give his boy, you know, some loving after he handed out the C. You know, that's, again, that's something that I might not be a huge fan of. But I mean, this guy, he brings in Bobby Ryan and Bobby Ryan says, why are you, you know, he gets asked, why are you here? And it's instantaneously there was zero hesitation. He goes, Steve Yzerman, I'm here because of Steve Yzerman. You talk about like player coaches and, you know, then there's the opposites of like the Torts and the Mike Babcocks. It really does sound like Yzerman probably, you know, as we saw living his captain's days, his player's days, just like this, but he's like a mayor. Like he's all about these players. He's all about his teammates. Before it was, man, taking pucks to the face when he's leading the team in points, just to make sure the team's getting a victory. I think now he's, and to your point, you know, you don't want to do too much for these players, but, could be like the exact opposite. And at least we're seeing where adding some of it, like you were saying, you know, having nearly none of it from the Bowman perspective, but having some of it at least brought us in $1 million contract and for Bobby Ryan and then some bargain bin defensemen that are holding up enough to have our goaltenders be posting a .930 save percentage. So to that end, you know, we'll see in the long run where this goes. You know, we want to find out that he's actually best friends with Larkin and we'll get, you know, after the next contract's up, he gives him too much. I'm just kidding. I'm spitballing. There's probably no truth to that. Just saying, you know, what could be the absolute worst thing to happen? You know, like that's where loyalty fails. But I think at this point, at least, it looks like when you're talking to these guys and you're giving them, you know, I'm someone that went through like some of those silly management trainings, but some of the truths in those, when you work for those large companies, some of the truths are that come through are you got to empower people. And if he's talking to Bobby Ryan and saying like, what do you want out of this? Cause I can give you that. Like that's a straight up management tactic from a large corporation. Like somebody struggling with sales, you don't tell them what to do. You say, well, what do you want to do? You know, what's your goal for being here? And then, well, how are we going to reach that goal? Like it's silly and it's tactical, and it's kind of, you know, more of a psychological exercise than anything, but it works. And by all accounts, and I'll take your word on it for Stan Bowman, that might be the failing. But yeah, to answer your question, it absolutely, if there's any GM right now looking to say, like, well, how am I going to land the next $1 million, like, winger, it's whatever Steve Yzerman did over the phone, because he had him sign the moment free agency started, and he's just been an absolute joy to watch so far. But
And so you see, to your point, I mean, you get guys like Stevie Yzerman with that wonderful reputation, Joe Sakic with a wonderful reputation, and then you get guys like Bowman. I mean, he apparently, according to Steger, on a Spit and Chicklets podcast that he was talking about it, like Bowman told him that he was traded one night at a fundraiser when they were out, like, just shooting the shit outside or something. Like, I think somebody was smoking and they just went out to have a conversation, and
Jesus,
Bowman was there and they were talking, and then Bowman goes, oh, hey, yeah, so we traded you. And he's like, what? Like, it just, like, it came out of nowhere. There was, like, no tact. There was no pre warning or anything. It was just, he just kind of blurted it out. And then Steers, he's just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, you get right. Stories like that. And you can see why. I mean, I if he could trade every single player on the team, like, he wouldn't even blink an eye. Like, he wouldn't bat an eyelash.
It sounds like he went over and spoke to him, like, right after he met eyes with him, and then deleted the text that he was about to send.
Oh, you're good. You're here. Good.
You're here. Oh, okay. I guess.
Save me the fun time.
Stomps it out on the ground. Yeah, you're traded. Scars are for winners.
Yeah. Like, ridiculous. Unbelievable.
All right. Well, I hope we can talk more. Actually, should we settle? What was our we had our wager or our bet for the season? Are we going to be betting that one of us is better than the other, or who's going to fall? Who's going to be dead last?
Well, I'm willing. I already my hot take for I jumped on the Hockey Podcast Network's After Hours this past weekend, and my hot take there was that the Detroit Red Wings would finish before, like, ahead of the Chicago Blackhawks in the standings. So I think that's the bet.
All right. So if let's see, if the Red Wings, or so I'm assuming we want to finish last. So if we finish above, it's got to be something, right? Like, do we do something like a morning radio talk show where it's like, oh, he's got to wear a Blackhawks jersey for a day, which is so lame. It's got to be like, right, like I got to get you a deep dish. Like, I got to call on over to, or you know what? Are you out of Chicago?
I'm not. I'm actually in Calgary right now.
You're in Calgary. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Canadian boy, so.
So we can't do that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's put this on hold. Now we'll figure something out.
We'll
come back to it. We'll record it, and it'll get us through the rest of the season. Trust me, you will need you'll need segments. You'll need fun little things to get yourself through. Maybe beg. It sounds like Brian should have more time on his hands, so have him come on more, because that was an absolute joy to listen to too.
It was an absolute joy to talk to the guy.
Such a beauty. I gotta start. So since we are doing this a little bit differently, and again, I hope we can do the conversation where it's for both fan bases. I gotta remind everybody to go to @HawksTalkPod, follow them on there. If you guys just want to trash talk or do some shit talking, that's where you can find them. So we've got
bring it Friday. On.
That's right. We've got Friday and Sunday coming up, and of course the rest of the season. We'll see how it goes, and we're gonna hook up again, and we'll figure out what this wager is gonna be. But Grant, thanks so much for coming on. This is fun, and I feel like I learned some things about the Blackhawks, and maybe I won't flip off the Blackhawks logo next time I'm in Chicago. I don't know. I'm sure my wife was really happy to take that picture.
Take that photo.
And yeah.
Matt, hurry up. Come on.
It's an adult right there. Look at him. thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's been a fun time. And yeah, appreciate you jumping on.
And, jumping on the podcast. Good luck trying to get through the rest of the season.
Thank you, sir.